Hello and welcome to Brain Trust Live number 239.
This week on the podcast, the hilarious Helen Hong joins us in the studio.
And Trump's America has done something unthinkable, pitted the Kochs and Grover Norquist against each other.
Plus, enough treason has finally occurred for us to figure out how to pronounce Devin Nunes' name correctly. That was it.
And Ivanka Trump is now repaying the government for all that free advertising she got with some bad advice.
North Carolina refuses to give up on the impossible dream of having the Final Four game played there and passes a fake repeal of the transgender bathroom bill.
And the Maxine Waters folk hero-ness lives on.
We'll have all this and more.
This is Brain Trust Live. Hey guys, I'm Brent.
I'm Lila, and you can find us on the web at www.braintrustlive.com.
We are so excited. We have a special guest this week.
Yeah.
Comedian, actress, Helen Hong.
Yay!
Bernie supporter.
Bernie supporter.
Right.
Bernie all day and all night.
Yeah.
Love me some Bernie.
Yes.
And Helen was on Bad News Live when we...
We've had them on
a couple times. We love having them
actually,
on.
Yeah,
super fun.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, they're really fun to have on.
And you went to the... I was out of town, but you saw that show.
I did go to that show.
That was a fun show.
And you have something coming up. As well.
I do. I actually launched my own politically themed comedy show recently with a good friend of mine, Faraz Ozel, and which is funny. He called me the day after the election, and he was like, "What are we going to do?" And I was like, "I don't know, but we're doing something."
Right. I feel like so many phone calls went that way.
I know. First panic. That's what I did.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, but it was. I actually felt really gratified. Like, I got so many calls because people knew about my Bernie activism and, you know, my voter registration activism, and people just knew that I was kind of like. Activist.
Yeah.
And so the day after the election, I got a lot of phone calls being like, "What are we going to do?" And I was like, "I don't know, but we're doing something."
I'm surprised they called you and asked what to do as opposed to call you and be like, "You stupid Bernie supporter."
I know.
Because that's all I got.
I feel like I got 50% people asking me specifically how you contact your congressperson. And then
that's great.
Like a lot of people turned out didn't know that. And I remember, I mean, a few years ago, like we wrote something on our blog about the fact that you could just go do that because so few people seemed aware that you could have a direct line to your congressperson.
Yeah.
But like it was
probably news to me until fairly recently.
I mean, my mom used to take me to do that when I was a kid. That's the only reason that I would know that. Yeah.
That's a really precious experience that your mom gave you.
Totally.
And that
it's very empowering
and even,
too.
And even to this day, you hear a lot of people go like, "The only reason why I vote is because my parents dragged me to the voting booth when I was a kid."
Totally. It seems like
and
a fun
always
activity.
Instilled in me like, "Ooh, yeah, this is a thing we got to do."
Yeah.
And then they took the levers away and now it's a bunch of bullshit.
I know. The levers were
the best part.
Man.
Yeah.
Now it's the punch hole cards.
I know.
I never know, like, am I punching hard enough?
I feel I think every time that I vote about hanging chads, and I know it doesn't even apply to our voting experience. Damn we vote it. With, like, pens, but still, it feels like I could be filling out the oval wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a disaster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so in any case, how did you get involved in the Bernie... you know, movement.
I was introduced to Bernie Sanders by Liz Winstead.
Oh, sure.
Who is the co-creator of The Daily Show.
Yeah, and she does, whatchamacallit?
Lady Parts Justice.
Yeah, right. We've seen
remember
her
Remember our golden
at,
uteruses at Politicon?
Right, at Politicon.
It's always at Politicon,
we've seen that.
So I'm a Lady Parts Justicer.
Nice.
And Liz is a mentor of mine. I've always looked up to her. I mean, she's kind of like what I want to do. Like, she's so smart and so funny and uses that smart funny to, like, really drive home a message. And especially, you know, Lady Parts Justice, our thing is abortion rights because there's so much taboo around it. And she's like, "No, you don't say reproductive, you know, don't like beat around the bush. It's abortion and it's
right.
legal
right.
and we want it right. on demand." And I'm like, yeah. So I love that. So,
yeah.
I had never heard of Bernie. I was not even really that clued in. You know, I'm one of those Democrats like, I'll just go and vote for the Democrat, you know, just down the party line, Democrat, sure. But she started talking to me about Bernie, and I started paying attention to his message, and I was like, "Wow, this guy stands for everything that I stand for." Yeah, good. Economic equality. Why aren't we talking about that? Why isn't that the number one issue? Why aren't we going after bankers? And, you know, why don't we have universal health care? So I started paying attention, and I was really turned on by him. And then I was like, "Hey, man, I'm gonna put my money where my mouth is and start, you know, really campaigning for him," because Lord knows he had an uphill battle.
Yes.
You could say.
You know, the whole time that he was in the race. But I just really liked his vibe. I loved his message. And so I started really campaigning for Bernie. And my biggest thing was, you know, I approached it from a voter registration standpoint because, you know, the more you talk about talk to people that are sort of vaguely like-minded, you realize, yeah, they're all the same way. They're like, yeah, everything that Bernie's talking about, I support. And it's right. Like, okay, well, are you going to vote for him?
No.
No. Right. I'm not even registered. Oh, well, let's fix that. So I did this thing, which I encourage everyone to do, comedians, performers. I had a 4-month window where I did voter registration at every single comedy show I did.
Oh, I love that.
So yeah, it's great.
So I would go to the gig early with my laptop, and I had put a sign on the one side of my laptop, the open side of my laptop, that said, register to vote here. And I, you know, asked every club owner, do you mind if I come early and set up a table? All I need is a little table for my laptop and some Wi-Fi. And I can register people on the spot. And of course, every, you know, club owner was like, have at it. That sounds amazing. You know, people like the idea of it. Yeah, so they were very supportive.
Do you know how many people you signed up?
Yeah, I would estimate I probably signed up 300 to 400 voters in LA County. Yeah. And I'm really proud of myself because it was all individual. It was like one person at a time.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, you know, maybe 2 people at one show and then 10 people at another show and then 5 people at another show. So it was very, you know, individual, slow going. But, you know, all the other comics were like, Helen, that's, you know, some of them made fun of me, but some of them were like, that's really cool that you're doing that. And I love that you're putting your money where your mouth is.
Yeah, right. It's also doing something. It's something you can do sort of outside of the structure of a group so that you can do it in your own time, in your own way without
absolutely.
It. You know?
Yeah. And that was the thing is like, you know, for me, I'm a busy person. I, you know, I audition all the time, and see, it's kind of hard to do that. But then, you know, I perform 5 to 7 nights a week.
Right.
I have a built-in audience.
Yeah.
You know, you know, and they're kind of like, you know, a lot of them are millennials or people who are like the younger voting bloc, which are the ones that we, you know, have the least numbers as far as voters go. And so I was like, hey man, this is like one really simple thing that I can do, that I can be really proactive about. And so I did it, and that's how I sort of got known around town, is like, oh, Helen, there she goes again. But I also made it nonpartisan. You know, obviously I was like, whoever you're voting for, you can come and I will register you to vote.
We always say that the more people that feel invested in the process, the more people will ultimately vote for the things that benefit the most people.
Yeah, because it really is about knowledge, you know, and just knowing what you're getting. Like, I didn't know about Bernie Sanders, but then I learned about him and I was like, oh, he's my guy.
Right.
Like, I thought I was a Hillary girl. I was like all on board for Hillary from the beginning. Like, of course I'm voting for Hillary. But then I was like, no, this guy's my guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's just gaining knowledge.
Well, and it's so great that you did that. But I also think that there were, you know, Bernie supporters, I think sort of like in the end ended up getting sort of a bad rap. But I also think so many of them did the types of things that you did.
Totally.
I mean, to a lesser degree, I think probably because some of them weren't able to do what you did. But I mean, it was the Bernie people who sort of like had that energy. And like, so, you know, it enrages me. Like when we get like that sort of, you know, bad rap is sort of like ruiners of the whole thing. And it's sort of like,
oh,
look, guys, we were trying to fix the whole thing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Like, listen, I drove at the height of my Bernie activism. I jumped in a car with a random stranger to go to Arizona to do the voter registration and get out the vote.
Right. Yeah, right.
In Arizona. And I was like, you know, he really inspired us. We were so inspired, and we were just like, it was so many hundreds of hours of volunteerism, you know, and I was so inspired to see what people were doing, like, you know, homemakers and retirees and people who work 3 jobs but would take the 5 hours they had, you know, the 5 extra hours they had a week and do Bernie stuff. And I was just so, so inspired. And I do think we need more of that. I do think we need more of that, and I'm so thankful to have had that experience and to be turned on, and I think a lot of people are, and I'm so glad we are kind of in a time of activism right now.
Yeah.
There's a lot of need for it, so it's a good thing that we made it.
Yeah, on that note, Hillary Clinton's back.
Yeah, she emerged from from the forest.
Yes,
as she said, as she claimed.
Yes, it's time to come out of the woods.
She's been given speeches to what I can only assume are unsuspecting audiences.
And she's wearing leather, so she means business. Yeah, right. She's like, oh, no more cotton pantsuits. Nope.
I do feel like at the Women's March, Tammy Duckworth came out in like a studded like metal jacket that had like spikes on it, and like she who's not the most progressive, you know, senator by any means or anything, came out and delivered like the greatest speech I feel like of any of the politicians, and I think it was exclusively because of the leather. Like I think
something about leather, man.
Yeah,
kicks she's you up. Like, you're like, oh, you want to go? Let's go. Yeah.
She like meant business.
Yeah.
That was.
She's got a new slogan, by the way.
Because you know, as a private citizen, you need a slogan.
You need a slogan.
Just to get through the day.
Uh-oh.
This is a forgettable one, too, by the way.
It's also an infuriating one.
Oh, yeah. Resist, persist, insist, enlist.
Oh, no.
First of all, it's hard to remember and hard to say.
You do three words
if you're trying at all.
Yeah, it's a mouthful. It's like what you do as like a warm up as an actor, right?
Yeah.
Where you sort of like
resist,
have to
resist, persist, insist, and list.
In different keys.
Resist, persist, insist, and list. All right, I'm warmed up.
Yeah, exactly.
Like what?
Then
no, it's like a cheesy. It's something that like a second grade teacher would be like, okay, kids, what's our class slogan?
It's also all the words. Like, it just means everything and nothing. Like,
right. Yeah, yeah.
Like, because...
Well, what is she trying to do?
See, that's the thing. Like, I have
nobody
sort of,
knows.
Like... I have gone back and forth in my head about whether I... Like, on some level, I think that, you know, she won the popular vote by 3 million votes. And then Donald Trump gets elected, which is a freaking disaster. And then she sort of, like, went immediately dark. And I sort of understand that it was painful, obviously. Mm-hmm. And, like, that... Also, I think that she probably rightly knew that, like, people at that exact moment
didn't necessarily
have an appetite for her face. Right.
Girl, like, I don't want to see your face.
Right. But, like, on the other hand, and while I am not a huge supporter of hers, like, I feel like, you know, she obviously has a voice to be able to speak out against some of the terrible nonsense that's going on right now. Mm-hmm. So sure. I have mixed feelings about this.
Don't.
I guess. No, you're more against it than I am.
I feel like Hillary Clinton, because one of the things about, you know, from the article from The Hill that we pulled this from was that some of her aides were quoted as saying things like, well, Bernie certainly hasn't stepped up, so someone had
what?
To come. Stuff like that.
Right, the party needs a leader because
there's
no leader right now.
There's no world in which we don't owe her something for this. Like, there's no world in which she's just, like, doing the right thing for humanity. I think that she always has her eye on sort of a next step. And so I think the implication of her coming out and giving political-ish speeches maybe she doesn't know what her plan is yet. I would contend it should not be to run for New York City mayor, as keeps getting thrown around by people.
Oh, yeah.
She's not a resident of New York City, though.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Just like a nightmare scenario. But in any case, we've talked about that plenty on this podcast. But I don't think that she ever just like comes out for the good of humanity and says, because if that was the way that she approaches things, she would have found a way to communicate that to us at some time in her life.
Yeah, she's just not an inspiring figure. She's other than inspiring hatred.
Right.
She inspires hatred, apparently, but
she doesn't have the intention to be an inspiring figure.
Which is what we were talking about earlier, like the level of passion that Bernie, you know, generated versus the level of passion that Hillary, you know, and I do know tons of people that really supported Hillary.
Oh,
like,
yeah, for sure.
Authentically,
I do too.
Authentically, genuinely supported
people
Hillary
who, like...
and was like, no, I'm all on board for Hillary. And I'm like, great, so what are you doing for her? You know,
talking to people like you, telling them they're stupid for voting for Bernie Sanders.
And I'm like, are you doing a voter registration? Are you doing get out the vote for her? Like,
well, they focus a lot of energy on being angry at Bernie people and not a lot on finding new people to bring into the process.
Right. So
they focused on alienation as opposed to, you know, inclusion.
She was more, she had more the people like, oh, I'll write her a check.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to do footwork for her.
Fewer richer people in her.
Exactly.
In her court.
And I will say, I do feel bad for Hillary
It's a classic Brent Thornburg line.
Because
he feels bad for everyone.
I love to feel bad for people I shouldn't be feeling bad for. But
I do feel bad for her because she can't win. You know what I mean? Like, if she stayed completely silent, people would bitch about that.
No.
And then if she coming out, people are bitching about that. So it's like, you can't win. She's a hated figure.
Yeah.
And she's, no matter what she does, she's going to lose to some percentage of the population.
Yeah.
But I will say the one thing about her is that any hint of her running for any office whatsoever, like, girl, get a reality check. Like, stop surrounding yourself by these yes people.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, why not?
Yeah, a reality show would be great.
Yeah.
Like, gives you an outlet. Stop running for stuff.
Choose the people what you're up to.
Yeah.
Like, finally gets it, like, the humanizing image that...
Talk about a bubble. She's living in a yes bubble world where people are like, absolutely, sure. Hillary, you would kill it. You would kill it again. She'd be I would kill it.
Beltway was thinking that. Like, that's like, it was so weird during the campaign. If you went to Washington, everyone was like, well, of course Hillary will win. Like, it was like there was no question in anyone's mind. And you'd be like, that's not really not how people are talking outside of this city. But like... Yeah. That's kind of the...
She's one of the foremost thinkers of our time,
yeah.
Guys.
Have you heard that, guys?
Yeah.
Have you heard that from Debbie? Schultz. Have you been listening to Debbie Wasserman Schultz pontificate on the genius that is, the policy genius that is Hillary Clinton?
Yeah. Oh, I know what we were mad at her about. We were trying to figure it out. It was because she said that the Democratic Party... Oh, she was ragging on Bernie again.
This is Debbie.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz, where she said that, you know, the Democratic Party already is a grassroots party. Because, like...
It was during the DNC vote. It was in the aftermath of the DNC vote.
Oh, right.
That's when we got mad at her. What a surprise that we were mad at her about that.
Yeah. She's dreadful.
Yeah, she is.
She's, of course, she comes from Florida.
Where everything terrible
Everything terrible starts in Florida.
In any case, we had a new and exciting burst of potential failure this week.
Oh, great.
In the aftermath of the
Wait, whose failure?
Republican failure.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love my favorite kind of failure is Republican failure.
Well, because last week we went through the whole step by step.
Last week, the entire podcast was a step by step walk down memory lane
of how the American Healthcare Act failed.
Did you guys have a fun sound effect? I feel like every time a Republican fails, an angel gets his wings. An angel got his wings. A Republican failed.
It's going to be a lot of angels flying around.
Oh my God.
Here.
It's going to be exhausting.
Soon.
It's going to be bugs.
Yeah, exactly.
In any case.
Because they failed at the American Healthcare Act.
And we told you that they were moving on to taxes.
Right.
That was what Mike Pence told us last week
at his
gathering of Linda McMahon friends.
And
where he carefully surrounded himself not by women.
Not by women. Right. Yes.
Exactly. That is so enraging to me.
I know.
It's like our vice president looks at every woman and just sees a walking vagina. Right. Apparently. He's like, back! Back you!
Protect me from raping you, please.
I know. Oh, God.
Take that disgusting, fleshy deliciousness away from... Like, what? Get it together. Jesus.
He's just terrible.
You're the worst.
He is the worst.
He just... I have this joke in my act where I just... Why does he look like a normal person? That's his problem.
He shouldn't. He should look like Ted Cruz.
He looks like a Viagra dad. Like, oh, that guy's kind of handsome. And like, oh. But then he opens his mouth and you're like, what? Why do you not look like the Hunchback of Notre Dame or some alligator man? Or something? Like, the things you say you just don't match your...
I feel like that sort of describes Republicanism, though. And it's like the people that say the lizard person things but look... like Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
They have like good hair or something.
Right.
You know?
The pomade and
good fake hair.
Yeah, good
real hair.
Suit and a tie and
unless
the right
they're Donald
place.
Trump.
Yeah.
They don't have a good suit if they're Donald Trump.
I know.
Yikes.
Just curious since he makes suits.
It's one of the great questions. In any case.
Yeah.
The Republican Party, as we described last week, how they're basically two parties at this point.
Yeah.
They're not a Republican Party so much as a Freedom Party and a Republican Party.
Is it like screw over the poor?
Yeah.
All we can agree on is that we hate poor people.
Right. We're kind of racist and we hate poor people.
Yes. But
that's
interestingly,
what we agree on.
Though, the Koch brothers in this tax battle have taken on sticking up for poor people, which
it's,
is really
It's a confusing time for
mind.
America.
What?
I mean, for their own benefit, obviously.
For their own
benefit, let's not get carried
but
away.
So, at the center of this tax plan that the Republicans are about to attempt
loosely
to pass,
called a plan.
Loosely called a plan. Is this 20% tax on imports.
Right.
So
they're trying
and
to
we
be
know
protectionist.
We know Republicans hate taxes, mm-hmm. but they are, right, they're trying to get what they say, they're trying to get American businesses, like, on the same footing as, like, foreign businesses. So they're going to basically, like, tax the crap out of all of the goods that are coming right. into the country.
Okay. This is part of their anti-free trade.
Right, okay. Exactly.
Well, too bad everything.
Right, we right. won't have that things if they do
well,
that.
Well, that's the problem.
From
so,
elsewhere.
Right.
I mean,
so,
what do we make at this point?
Right, so, yeah.
Nilla so, wafers.
Yeah. Right.
I exactly. think are the only right. things that we make yeah, in
so
the
you,
United States.
So you have these Republicans who are very much in the sort of, like, Trump, Steve Bannon nationalist
populist mold.
Camp, right? The yeah, the fake populist.
Yeah,
mold,
right.
Right.
Populist. right. Faux populist.
yes. Who are really into this tax, and it's also the only tax in their tax and budget plan that is basically creating any revenue because all they're doing is right. basically cutting.
And you
taxes.
Know that they can't pass a bill that won't decrease the deficit, so they're right. in a little bit of a pickle.
So they're in a bit of a bind. If they can't rally around this 20% import tax, then they have no way in this tax bill to create
to cut
any
all
revenue.
The taxes.
Right,
all
right. Exactly. Right. So you've got these two camps. You've got this nationalist camp, and then you've also got this camp that is like, hey, we don't like taxes.
The
and
old
also,
line free traders,
right,
basically.
And also, this is going to like screw over the people who like we import everything, like you just said. So it's like now, but then that puts those people in a weird position because they're having to stick up like for Walmart, basically. You know what I mean? Like
that's
where
so
all of
interesting.
These.
So it's like one camp, the tax camp, is like the only thing we hate more than poor people is poor people from other country.
Right.
And then
exactly.
and then this other side is like, no, we hate poor people so much that
even poor people from other countries.
Even if you've got money from another country, you're friends with us. But even the poor people, no poor, anything except for the poor people. So it's like, oh, pick your poison.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's always a pick your poison.
Right. Exactly.
Situation with that.
But you've got like
how
people
racist
like,
are you?
Right.
Or how xenophobic
right. yeah, totally.
Slash hating poor people
right.
are
it's
you?
Really but pitting got their xenophobia and their racism against each other
yeah.
to
yeah.
a certain degree
it
too,
is.
Which is also
yeah.
complicated.
It is like, oh boy.
Yeah, I know.
The right. only thing I hate more than poor people is accents. Yikes. Oh boy.
Totally. But there's so but there's some
strange
also
bedfellows
like,
are emerging.
Some, right, exactly. Because you've also got people within the White House itself who are, you know, for and against this tax. You've got Steve Bannon, but you also have like...
Jared Kushner, I bet, is not a protectionist.
I doubt it.
No, probably not. Yeah. And you've also got...
but
I think
Steve Mnuchin
oh,
and,
yeah,
and Gary Cohen, who are both former bankers at Goldman
right.
Sachs.
And he's
oh,
Treasury Secretary,
right.
Steve Mnuchin. They're,
yeah.
they're not super
they're like,
into this
flow
tax.
That money in here, no
right.
matter
exactly.
what kind of foreign
exactly.
accent it's got.
Right, money is
yeah.
money.
Yeah.
And you've got Tom Cotton, who you would think would probably be into this because he... Because
he's
you know,
in that case.
Because, right, exactly. But he's also from Arkansas, which is where
Walmart
is. So he has come out against this 20%
wow.
tax as well, too. So this
and
seems,
he's in a weird position having to defend Walmart, as
right,
you were saying.
Exactly,
because
nobody
usually
wants to
you
have
don't
to
talk about how you're defend.
No.
You don't. The way that you pitch your Republican policies is not that they'll benefit Walmart.
right, exactly.
Yikes.
No.
But there's also been interesting bedfellows in the sort of larger policy community because Grover Norquist and the, you know, Koch brothers have both taken sort of interestingly strong positions on this.
On
yeah.
opposite ends.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So it's
yeah.
it's a curious
wow.
time for...
It's going to be awkward
for America.
At the polo match.
right. right.
Awkward
yeah.
times like, oh, I hear
I
you're coming
feel like
out against...
Is Grover Norquist like doing things anymore?
I think all
like,
he does is
like
just like make the rounds.
I hadn't
just,
heard
like,
his name in a while.
Yeah,
know,
his
yeah.
tax pledge... plans seem to fall apart at a certain point because yeah. who
he
was
just
it that
comes
wouldn't sign
out,
them
he
like
just opens
Ted
the coffin door every couple of years
right.
and goes, no taxes! And
right.
then closes the
That's
coffin
it.
Door
sign
again.
Sign this and
is.
Everyone's like, no. Like it turned
right.
out that all it took to get rid of him was someone saying no to him.
no,
basically.
Right, exactly.
Who are you, strange man, with this tax plan? Like,
why are you shoving this
right.
clipboard in my face?
right.
I will not sign. And then he just like fizzled yeah. into thin air.
But it does seem destined for failure. And this is like their second big like piece of legislation that they're like
yeah,
trying to get
this was what they
passed,
were
going
to do to
like,
fix the problem where they looked
right,
like
they were
going
to quickly move on from healthcare to taxes because they knew they could get taxes done.
I'm telling
right.
you, I'm practicing my Russian tea dance for every time the Republicans have a failure, I'm going to break out in a Russian dance
uh-huh.
because
like
of the irony
And also, you want to ally yourself with the right
exactly,
people.
Exactly. Because if we're going to take over by Russians, at least I'm going to know how to dance.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we gotta, then you'll have a skill.
It's easier to learn how to dance than to speak Russian. So true. Like, I've decided, like, that's, I'm going to do the nutcracker.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, jumping up and down with the fur
that
hat.
That's hard, though.
We should all really be getting hard into ballet classes, like, real soon, though, just to be safe.
Yeah. Well, you already are. You're ahead of the game.
I know. It's like I planned it. Yeah. It's like I knew Russia was going to take over via, a treasonous president, and I went into ballet 4 years ago thinking, I gotta be ready.
Wow, you know what? The Russians are coming. Yeah. Literally, they're coming.
Oh, boy.
Meanwhile, we have another catastrophe on our hands because it's feeling more and more like this Gorsuch filibuster is not going to work out.
This thing is so goddamn enraging.
The most.
Really, because we should have been doing this months ago when our president at the time was like, I have a guy. I've got a guy. Right. It's in my rights.
Right.
I'm doing the thing I'm supposed to do. Right. And everyone was like, no. And the Dems were like, fine.
Yeah, that's like a classic Democratic
move.
Where was
the fight then? Because it's harder now. The fight's harder now. Yeah, we should have been fighting this fight.
Heidi Heitkamp and Steve Manchin like all up in your business trying to do the wrong thing all the time.
Yeah. Well, and there's a lot of Democrats who are up for re-election in seats that Trump won by like 1,000,000% coming up. Like Joe Donnelly, who's from Indiana, is also probably
It's all people who were in such great shakes.
Right. It's all people who are
But I think Claire McCaskill is taking a stand.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
I am surprised by that.
That could be a smart move. I'm going to say something as unsolicited advice to these people, which is that I don't think running as a moderate Republican, which is what you're doing if you're a far-right Democrat, is the way to win the Trump vote. I think running far left is the way to win the Trump vote.
Well, we saw, I mean, look, we already have, like, we saw what Bernie did in West Virginia when he went to a town hall in West Virginia. That's where Joe Manchin is from. Like,
exactly.
Joe Manchin has a roadmap.
I don't think that you win that state by being like, I'm going to be the most mediocre Democrat on the planet.
Agreed.
And then you won't bother me. Like, you win that state by addressing from either the far right, if you're a Trumper, or the far left, if you're a smart person, the issues that actually affect that state. And
totally. Joe Manchin,
go hard or go home.
Right? Yeah. Joe Manchin could really probably win in a blowout in West Virginia if he just signed on to single payer. He won't because he's an idiot. Because
he's a horrible human being, but he could.
He could.
Why is he a Democrat?
I know.
What is the rationale behind that? I feel like
he is a person who was already basically not a Democrat, but is like getting more curmudgeonly over time too. Yeah. Like, I feel like he just
doesn't want to change the paperwork.
Right.
He's like, I know I'm a Republican, but all that paperwork I gotta do.
He conceivably deal with it in like Clinton America because that was basically like the brand of Democrat-ness that they were selling. But now it's just like gotten confusing, I think, for everyone.
He's like, ugh.
Yeah.
And he's just trying to blow wherever the wind kind of blows him.
Yeah.
But this is going to happen this week.
Yeah.
I mean, they're trying to vote on this.
So are they the only two Democrats that said they're not going to join in the filibuster?
So far, there's a few undeclared.
Yes. I think there's
only 33 claimed that they have signed
onto the filibuster.
Like, and then is McCaskill the only Republican that said
she's a Democrat?
She is a Democrat.
Yeah,
But I think that Susan Collins maybe was.
Oh really?
I think there were the sort of mediocre Republicans were flirting with the idea that
I don't know.
Like, this just sets such a dangerous precedent. Because if they go nuclear on this, then at what point do we have... I mean, listen, maybe they know that the Democrats will never be trusted to play hardball, so we never will do it.
Right.
But maybe. I just feel like, what incentive does anyone ever have to play ball with them ever again?
I think my understanding of some of, like, the Democrats' reservations about this is that Neil Gorsuch, obviously, like... This should have been Obama's nominee, and I think, like, literally everyone can agree on that. But like, Gorsuch doesn't change the makeup of the Supreme Court from what it was the last time that there were 9 justices, and they were still sort of oftentimes coming down on the side that was pissing Republicans off, whether it was on gay marriage or whether it was on whether Obamacare was legal or whatever. So Trump is probably, most people think, going to have the opportunity to have another nominee.
Yeah.
And that would actually change the makeup of the court. And if you go and you filibuster now and the Republicans decide to change the rules, then you have no power at all when Trump has his second nominee that will actually change the makeup of the court to be like 6-3.
Here's what I will say about that, though. That's not the law. The law is that whoever dies under the on, you know, like, because we don't know, maybe he'll have the chance to appoint 400 justices, or maybe he will only have the chance to appoint one.
Right, you don't know.
I feel like you can't change the rules because changing the makeup of the court is what time is supposed to do.
Right.
Over time, we are supposed to change the makeup of the court. We're not supposed to just, it's not like we just have to have a split court forever and ever for all of time. It's not like the New York State Senate, which is always Republican because it's gerrymandered, and like it's just supposed to, people are like, it has to be because otherwise too much would get done, basically, is what the incentive, you know, it's like, no, it is supposed to change with the population of New York. That's the point. Like the Congress is supposed to change with the population of the country. Like the Supreme Court is supposed to evolve. It's not supposed to, like, that's not good logic.
But we don't want it to devolve.
Of course not. But I mean, like, that's what I think, you know, I think that there, if we change the precedent, then, I mean, what are we going to fight with the next time?
Yeah.
They could just do it the next time. I mean, they can always go nuclear. It doesn't,
well, right.
It's not like this time they won't, you know.
That's very true. They could just change it the next time.
Yeah, I just think, I don't see why that would. I think we should be throwing everything we've got against this, as we should have during the Merrick Garland nomination.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we should have. It's just like a little too late now.
Well, it's because he appointed someone no one liked. one was excited about Merrick Garland, so that was part of the problem. He was the Hillary Clinton.
He was a Nilla wafer.
Yeah. Well, right. Yeah.
It was intentionally.
It was intentional because he was trying to nominate somebody he thought that they would approve. Because
but we said at the time, we were like, appoint like a granola, you know, hippie named Rainbow.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
You know, I think that's a problem that a lot of what Obama did was like, I'm just going to do this like nondescript thing.
Right. Yeah, right. No one can get behind it because no one's really sure what they think about it.
Yeah.
Put us all to sleep, why don't you?
Yeah, right.
That's so true. That is true. Merrick Garland. And people like Neil Gorsuch, apparently, because he's like,
he's like
he can get all chummy in the, he can like drop a joke, allegedly, while he's doing
this. Well, Scalia was also really funny. That didn't stop him from being an asshat, you know? It doesn't make you a good Supreme Court justice.
Asshat.
Yeah, very true.
That's why him and RBG were such close pals.
Yeah.
They used to go on vacation together.
Yeah, and the opera.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now that there's an opera about them.
Yes.
No. So
Somebody wrote an opera.
That's beautiful.
About them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I love that.
The Unlikely Friendship.
Yeah. Oh, is that what it's called?
No.
Oh, okay.
That's what it's about.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Great.
It's about an unlikely friendship.
Oh, God. Moving on. This week.
More treason. We're back. More and exciting.
All treason.
All treason all the time.
All the time.
But most importantly, we learned an important fact about the House Intelligence Committee's chair.
How to say his name.
Devin Nunes.
Nunes.
Or is that how you say it?
Nunes.
There's no N yet.
N-E-S-S.
So he's like, no, it's not Latin. It's Scotch.
Nothing to see here.
It's Welsh, I swear to God. It's Nunes, you know, like as in the newness of my not eating tortillas. What? Wait a minute.
It's a derivative of
Noah. I thought it was Nunes. I thought you were like Latino as hell.
And I would love to know how his grandparents said their last name.
Well, we both said it differently throughout the entire podcast last week and never acknowledged that we were saying it differently.
We just both went with it. That's you guys are on board with every other news organization. Like every time.
Oh, I know. That's the thing.
Every time I hear a news, it's like Nunes.
Nobody's getting it right. The news is not getting it right. Sean Spicer has been saying it incorrectly.
Yeah, I was saying it the Sean Spicer way. Should have known that was wrong.
Yeah, you should have. That was your first sign.
Yeah.
I know, but it's like funny because his own colleagues don't know how to say it either.
Yeah, I know.
Like, they theoretically know him.
Yeah.
Like,
that's
he's
how
known
you
to them.
Know he's a shifty dude.
Yeah.
He's never going to be like, listen, it's Nunes. I know,
right?
Get it together. It's Nunes.
Yeah. Not only is he shifty, but he's also, I think, he's like a total, he's just a pawn.
Yeah.
And I don't know that he even really realizes.
There's a reason we didn't know his name before, and it's because he's a nobody.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. And they have chosen to use him for their purposes. And he's going right along
with it. And he's an idiot because this is not a ship that's... If he thinks this is a ship that's not going to sink, dude, you are the Titanic freaking violinist right now.
That get involved in like what is clearly going to be a huge scandal that will take them down.
I know, right?
For like short-term notoriety, basically.
I'm in. What do I do? What do you need me to do?
He's like, Watergate? That sounds like a great hotel.
Right?
Sure.
You want me to come to the White House and... look at classified information in the dark of night and then deny that you knew about two sham press conferences the very next day and then cancel all of the meetings at the House Intelligence Committee. I got that.
Yeah, no. I could do that.
I got that.
He is a tool. And I wish that there was more calls on him to recuse himself or resign or step down.
The Democrats have been trying, but... I think the fact that he is just eating himself in the news cycle is making it hard for that message to get out.
They've just canceled it. Like,
right, there's nothing to recuse himself from.
What is he even recusing himself? Right. Because they just canceled all the meetings.
That's so funny. He's like, nope. I will not recuse myself,
and we will also investigate nothing.
Right. Yeah, he doesn't have to. If they investigate nothing.
So is there a... What happens now? Like, can they just keep doing nothing?
Here's what happens now is the Senate investigates the ties to Russia, and the House continues to do nothing.
Right, the House investigation is like one of three investigations.
And it's the most shammy of all the investigations.
Totally. It's like
a big
sideshow. Like, the Senate has theirs, and then also, like,
the FBI found out the
FBI is doing their own
audits. Oh, yeah.
Too. Yeah, so... But he canceled everything this week.
Well, he had to because a huge story broke that indicated that the entire thing last week was a sham.
Right.
Because the place that he heard his secret bombshell information about how there was incidental information being collected on Trump was from the White House itself.
Right. He was in an Uber.
Right. Got the call.
Yes.
Turned that Uber right around. Went straight to the White House.
Redirect. This is true. This is what happened.
Then the next day gave a weird news conference that no one was sure why or what it was about.
No one was sure after
he delivered the bombshell either why or what it was
then
about.
Then went from the press conference to the White House.
To retell the White House what they had told him earlier.
And then had another press conference.
Right. Where he announced that he had told them what he had told us, basically.
But it turns out that all was maybe like, was that all a cover for the fact that it was the White House that had given him that information?
Well,
that's what people are suspecting, basically.
They were acting like he was trying to cover up for the two people that gave it to him as if they were whistleblowers, but we already know who they are.
We know who
they weren't whistleblowers.
No,
they were just White House staff.
Right, exactly.
It was the director of intelligence at the National Security Council.
I think he's just trying to increase his Uber rating.
Yeah, maybe.
Just running around town being like,
If I were an Uber driver, I would have given him a one.
Right.
For every
stop
one of
everything
those rides.
And go
this
to the
guy.
White House.
Right.
Oh, this guy. Jesus. He wanted
he's
to
so
stop
fucking
halfway
important.
Through the trip and go to the White House.
Right.
Jesus.
How many people do you think do that in Ubers in Washington? all the time.
Stop.
Take me to the White House.
Take me to the White House. Now. Okay.
This asshole.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, but so, in any case, it doesn't appear that anyone broke any laws yet, per se, in giving him this information, but it also doesn't appear that the White House was being secretly, like, you know, sold out by their own staff. It appears that the White House staff gave him intelligence information that he then gave us as a way of the White House getting this news out so that they could justify this wild, ridiculous claim that Trump had made. Yeah, and then he delivered it back to them to pretend like they hadn't just given it to him, and the whole thing was too obvious to cover up because he's not actually that good at this kind of covert action.
No.
Yeah, I've been hearing all these reports that are like the level of incompetence does not match.
Well, that's every time
none of you are James Bond.
Every time I hear someone accuse in this administration of being an evil genius who's just like distracting us with this nonsense.
You're maybe James Bond in your first month of training. So just calm down.
You're 17-year-old James Bond.
Yeah.
You're James Bond when you're getting caught with beers in the car. Like,
stop.
Right.
You have beer goggles on.
Yeah.
And you're James Bond. So in any case, this whole Nunez situation has led the Democrats.
You mean Nunes?
Damn it. Damn it. Damn it.
Nice.
Do you mean
got me again.
Nunes?
Got me again.
Nunez sounds suspiciously Latin, and we can't have that.
Mexican. It's a Mexican man.
Cannot have that from a Republican congressman.
No.
He's not Latin. He's white AF.
Every time I also think every time that I hear this about listening to Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio try to speak Spanish in those debates. was the greatest moment of Republican. That was better than the penis
they
measuring
can't
competition.
They can't speak Spanish as well as Tim Kaine can.
Literally wow. Not at all.
No.
They're like, hola, amigos.
Yeah, they deliberately don't speak Spanish, in fact.
Yeah. But so the other thing that he said was that the reason that he had to go to the White House was because it had to be at a location where he could look at, like, top secret information. But there are various places that you can do that, including the Hill, which is, you know, where he works. He didn't have to go to the White House in the middle of the fucking night.
He did not have to switch that Uber.
No, he did not.
He completed his Uber ride.
Like, you know what? Just take me where I was supposed to go. I can look at it there.
Right. Adam Schiff has now also seen the same thing that Nunes has seen. And he's like, there's nothing in there that shouldn't have just been shared with the intelligence committee. With the class. Yeah.
So the Democrats are all busy trying to call on him to recuse himself, but since there's nothing to recuse himself from because he's refusing to do any actual work on this investigation other than peddle in crazy rumors, there's not much he can recuse himself. There's not much action he can take there.
Right. But Jackie Speier, who's from California and she's in the House, I think rightly put it, she said, there's an effort underway to shut this committee down by the president, which, like, duh. But yes, that's exactly what's happening. Yeah, I mean, like, they're literally trying to get this to just completely
go away. Not going away. Hashtag all day Russia all the time.
Russia. Yeah,
this is
that's like all I tweet about lately.
Well, there's like this can't.
I'll be like, hey guys, I'm at the Laugh Factory tonight. Hashtag Trump Russia. Hashtag Russia Trump. Hey guys, isn't this a really cute picture of a flower in my yard? Hashtag Russia.
Oh God.
Not going away.
Yeah. It appears as though one of the reasons, perhaps, why Nunes canceled all the meetings this week was because the White House is really desperately trying to get Sally Yates to not testify.
Yes.
And she was supposed to testify this week. Sally Yates is who...
is fierce!
Yeah, no. She is.
And her legal counsel is in a letter-writing war with their legal counsel, basically, about whether or not she's
lawyers,
can testify.
Man.
Because apparently the administration told her that she could not testify without permission because she had she had information or something that like she couldn't share without them saying that she could go do it or something, and like her lawyers were like she's gonna be testifying, so like deal with it. Like, you're wrong.
Wow.
Yeah, but
like, guess what, bitches, we know the law too.
Exactly.
Right, exactly.
We're all lawyers.
Yeah,
right.
But
it was right before everything got canceled.
It was literally within hours that this letter writing back and forth was going on before Nunes canceled all of the hearings.
That's so awful. That means that she's got something good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And we also know she has something good because Sean Spicer said that the White House was looking forward to their testimony, and he only lies.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
I can't wait. She's going to take the stand with like that black football mark stuff underneath her eye. She's going to put that war paint on underneath her eye.
She should
like,
wear
Let's
leather
go.
Too.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
She's going to wear leather. She's going to wear a Wonder Woman costume underneath the leather. She's going to have,
Have very
black
butch hair so
war
that no
paint
one fucks
on. I can't wait.
Yeah.
She is a freaking hero.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's going to.
Can't wait.
If it ever happens.
Right, exactly.
We don't know.
We don't know.
Well,
she can go to the Senate.
And they're talking about her talking to everyone, I feel like. So it's,
let's get her out there.
Speaking of people that are trying to talk to everyone, Michael Flynn is desperately seeking somebody to listen to his tale of treason.
Yeah, he is.
He is on the loose trying to exchange immunity for testimony with everybody who's investigating this Russia stuff.
But that's the problem with Flynn's tale of treason is that it includes his own tale of treason.
Yeah.
Which is...
So he can't give the testimony.
Like, as he said himself, if you're looking for immunity, you probably committed a crime.
Yes.
He's like eating the... he's like the roommate where it's like, who's eating my food? And he's like got the sandwich in his mouth and he's like, oh, I know.
Right.
I could tell you, but I'll only tell you if you promise not to get mad. You're like, well, I see the sandwich in your mouth. I know you at least ate half of it.
Right.
I can't believe also that a man who once said that you probably are guilty if you're seeking immunity would then stoop to this. He should have been someone who understood his own words.
Also a man who once led a lock her up chant.
Oh,
right.
That's what this Michael Flynn stuff is so delicious.
I know.
All of those reasons.
Such
like,
beautiful justice.
Yeah.
Especially because the Senate committee was like, no.
I know. Well, that's the thing.
I know, they were like, nope, immunity. No immunity for you.
Right, exactly. Yeah, well, and the thing is that, like, you would... I was initially surprised that they said no, because obviously the only reason that you're asking for immunity is if you're going to basically sell a bigger fish, you know, up the river. Like, you don't...
Right, you don't get immunity just because you just have a story to tell about yourself.
Or some, like, low-level schmo that nobody cares about. You know what I mean? So
like Betsy in the secretary.
My secretary was such a bitch during this whole thing.
So I was sort of like, ooh, give him the immunity. I want to hear him testify.
Yeah.
And so then they were like, no, but, like...
Probably because what was he offering? Nothing.
Well, he might have been offering something, but what a lot of people think is that whatever he has to offer is going to come out, or the FBI already knows at this point anyway. So it's like, we don't need to give you immunity, because we would prefer to lock you both up.
Right.
like,
I know, I'm so curious how this...
Lock him up.
When is someone going to lead a crowd in a lock him up chant?
Yeah.
Like, where's the rally? Yeah. Yeah, do you have a rally plan?
Can you do this at your show in a couple weeks?
Let's find out where Bernie is this week.
Right.
Lock him up. Yeah. It should be lock Flynn up, I guess.
Yeah, we don't want to make them think that we want Bernie locked up. That would be a shame.
Yeah.
Bernie's too much of a gentleman to pull any of that shenaniganery.
No, it's true. We would have a hard time locking him up.
I know, Bernie. It'd be difficult to find a reason. Just too damn clean, Bernie.
Just shopping at Costco in Vermont and going about your business. Mm-hmm. But so in any case, this there's a couple of investigations that he offered himself up to, and Schiff also acknowledged that if the Justice Department wants to give him immunity, like, that supersedes any like House or Senate, you know, decision to do that or not do that. But in any case, his lawyer said, General Flynn certainly has a story to tell, and he very much wants to tell it.
Yeah.
I love how desperate he is to talk about this.
Right.
I feel like a man
who... He knows they got some dirt on him.
Right.
Well, also, I would guess he's
pissed.
He feels
the heat from the fire.
Right.
Because he gave up his illustrious military career and was making $1.5 million a year wandering around speaking to nobodies, and now has lost literally everything for being involved with these people for literally like 3 months.
Right.
And now it's all, you know.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, the other theory about why he is seeking the immunity is because he thinks that he is potentially being investigated for other crimes.
Yeah. Because he's been doing a lot of shady stuff with his money.
With his money. And there's the whole thing with the Turkish government he was somehow involved with. Mm-hmm. So, like, he might not be seeking immunity for whatever his... Russia.
Yeah. He's like, you think Russia's the worst of it? No. I got way stinkier bodies under the floorboards here.
Don't get involved in treason if you're going to take a high ranking position and publicly get caught. Like, only get involved in treason if you can cover it up, because you're nobody. If no one's going to find out, I don't think. Yeah. Like,
I just can't believe the low level of integrity. Like, this guy was like, how many star general? You know what I mean? Like, he dedicated his entire life to serving his country. And then at the tail end of it, he's going to be give me some money, Turkey, and I'll do what you... I'll be Russia's bitch. Like, what? Like, what happened to you, man? You were like Mr. Frickin' America for your whole career. You're going to be or maybe he wasn't. Yeah, maybe he was like, whoever's got the first million,
I'm there.
Ugh, yeah. So gross.
We also found out this week that...
My entire family, by the way, most of my immediate family are naturalized U.S. citizens, not born in this country, and they have more... My dad has more patriotism in his pinky finger than...
Oh, I'm sure.
...than, like, half of the people that have worked or are currently working in the cabinet.
Well, I think that's actually pretty normal, because I think there's a different appreciation for what... at least we thought America stood for, I think, by, people who...
Exactly. Yeah. Like, my dad knows what it's like to grow up in a dictatorship.
Right.
You know, my dad
probably
knows
wasn't
what
hoping
like.
To return to one.
Right. Hey, guys, what happened?
I thought
I had found the Holy Grail, and you guys are really screwing it up.
Yeah, but these, it's when you are sort of part of the elite, either in power or money... It's really easy, I think, to think that your loyalty should be with that power and money as opposed to with the people that gave you that power and money.
Yeah.
I think it's, like, easy. I feel like generals are always a bad idea. They're not ever as principled as they seem like they are. Mm. Like, I mean, Petraeus also committed treason. Like, it's not unheard of that generals are committing treason. They have a lot of opportunity to do it.
True.
Yeah. But I feel like this is just a bizarre thing for the White House to have overlooked. It's a bizarre thing for him to, knowing he was doing all of, you know, knowing he was doing stuff, to have overlooked. Like, it's weird that he's in this position.
Yeah.
It's also weird that he failed to list payments from Russian entities in his financial disclosure forms.
Is that weird?
I feel like it's more suspicious. Like, it's one of those things that, like, there are other ways to find this out. It's not like his financial disclosure forms is the only way we know how much money he made. True. So, like, right. Why bring this specter right. up?
Yeah.
Because he got $45,000 for speaking to RT.
He thought he was going to be protected when he was doing all this stuff. Yeah, like, he's going to be in the cabinet. He's going to be the
But if you're going to be protected,
advisor. Nobody's going to investigate me. Right.
Then keep
like,
it.
I'm in the clear. And then it's like, record scratch.
Until right. I have to resign because the suspicion around me is too dramatic.
That's right. You didn't know Sally Yates was coming after your ass. Mm-hmm, that's right.
So many suck levels it, upon Flynn, which it. These people become misogynists. I feel like
I love it. Oh, that's part of it. Is they're so all in delicious cahoots. Irony with this Flynn story. The fact that a woman, you know, is bringing him down. The fact that he's the lock her up guy, and he, and now he's like Mr. It's lock like, him up. Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah,
it's like a telenovela.
And it's gonna stay good, you guys, mm-hmm. because it just doesn't seem to be going away.
No. No,
Michael Flynn somehow found his way back into the news repeatedly.
Like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Meanwhile, speaking of conflicts of interest, Ivanka Trump.
Yes.
She was getting some flack because they gave her an office, like a physical office in the White House, and she's a nobody private citizen who has no reason to have a physical office in the White House.
She's not even getting paid.
No. Well, and that is a problem for government.
That's right, because there's no... Because
then there's got to be... there's always a quid
pro quo.
There's
no accountability, yeah.
There's no accountability. Years ago, this came up with the presidency. George Washington didn't want to take a salary because he was independently wealthy. Congress was like, no, you have to take a salary because we are paying you to do a job, and then you are responsible and beholden That's to right. us, as opposed to just like a guy who's like a dictator.
And you can't be like, whoa, what are you going to do? Take away my salary? I don't have one.
Exactly.
Well,
yeah, and that's, you know, that was, that's why, you know, this sort of like Bloomberg model that Trump was always talking about, where he was going to only take a dollar then. It's first of all BS. You're not allowed to only take a dollar if you're the president. You shouldn't be if you're the mayor of New York either, but that's a separate conversation to be having. So Ivanka, in order to sort of give her credibility as she moves into the White House in a physical sense, they've decided to give her an unpaid official title, which doesn't add any credibility.
Nope.
It just means that we know that she has to comply with ethics laws. She was claiming, oh, I was going to voluntarily comply with them. But also, who the fuck cares if you were going to voluntarily do anything? Yeah. If it's voluntary, you're not...
Right. I love that she thinks like I love that she thinks the sign on her door somehow makes it like no, see the sign on the door? Yeah. It says official assistant to the president. Right. Look at the sign on the door.
We can look forward to her official advice on matters.
Yes. I'm kind of torn about this because
I am too.
I think Bill Maher was it Bill Maher that said, yeah, put her in there. I mean she's the most rational.
She's the only stabilizing force in
the entire administration. She's the most rational one in this whole administration. Right. And so I'm kind of on board with that. Like, yeah, she is kind of the voice of reason, if there is one. But then at the same time, like, it just goes against all the, like, disgusting nepotism and rule breaking, you know, by this entire administration. Like, do we not have any respect for rules and laws? Like, your kid can't serve, you know? Like, we're not a freaking banana republic in Zimbabwe where you're like, all my sons and all my daughters will work for... that was a terrible Zimbabwean accent, but you know what I mean.
I was excited to see where that was going.
Yeah, it was...
it's like, how deep into the Zimbabwean accent are we going to get?
It was terrible. I couldn't even... But you know what I mean. Like, you can't install your entire family in
or
roles
can you?
Of power.
I know. Because the other thing we're watching it happen before our very eyes.
The response to this has been really frustrating, too, because people have been comparing it to Hillary Clinton. Because she had an office in the White House. But she was first... lady, and she was, I don't know.
Also, I would contend that I didn't think that was all that appropriate at the time either.
Well, a lot of people didn't. A lot of people
because she was not.
Well,
I mean, it's fine, I guess, if you're serving at the pleasure of the president, any rando can serve at the pleasure of the president.
Sure.
But I also feel like the sort of implication there is that we somehow, like, elected a team instead of electing a person to be the president.
Good point.
Like, she was not serving in an official capacity or an elected capacity at that time, just as Ivanka is not who we elected to be the president. And she's also not in that position because she has the most, you know, experience or the most sort of, like, value.
The most anything.
She doesn't know what the hell she's doing.
Good blonde hair.
She's just, like,
Wait, does the First Lady garner a salary?
Yes.
She
they
does.
They do pay the salary, but it's because under, I think it was like under Eleanor Roosevelt or somebody like that, that the job description expanded to be an actual full-time job. Basically, like, it, you know, they didn't used to pay First Ladies, but First Ladies were working full-time
well,
in the capacity of First Lady.
Well, then why don't we fire
Melania? Right? Yeah, just give her the Melania salary.
Give her the Melania money.
Well, I don't
money.
Know right. if Melania is getting a salary, because what is she doing?
She's burning through taxpayer money in New York City.
Yeah, she doesn't
doing.
Deserve a salary at this point. The salary is being paid by local friends and family.
Yeah.
I think that this is not, like, the First Lady is a position that is supposed to be apolitical, essentially, because you're not elected as First Lady. And this is like somehow, this is like she's occupying like a Valerie Jarrett role or that kind of thing.
Except that
Valerie Jarrett was like a professional person who like had experience and expertise to offer. Like, this is just a random person. Her experience and expertise truly is just like controlling her father.
It's shoes
and manufacturing shoes in China.
And father like clearly like blow darting a tranquilizer gun into the back of his neck when she can.
Yeah,
sure.
Not on shopping.
I don't know.
Unfortunately.
I just feel like I'm a little on the fence about it. I feel like should we have someone who can talk him down?
Right.
Yeah, probably.
Yes.
Should it be her? Probably not. I don't know.
But,
you know.
But does a person
like
other than her that
have
is
the ability
able
to
do
to
that
talk
exist
him down?
In the world? I don't know.
Well, I feel like just let her do it and let's continue. Hashtag Russia.
Yes.
Hashtag Russia all day and all night. And then hopefully in a few months and then we won't have this problem because they'll all be gone.
Oh my God. If only. Let's hope that Pence goes down with them. That's my only concern.
That's my thing. It's like, that's why I think we got to pursue the Russia thing. Because it's like, well, if we had an improper election,
that's
true.
We deserve a new one.
Yeah.
And Pence shouldn't get in.
God, that would be wild if we just had a new election.
He's the worst.
Yeah.
We'd probably just run Hillary Clinton again. I mean, let's be honest with what the Democrats' plan would be at that time.
You'll just hear heads exploding.
But she won the first time, guys.
She wins. She can win stuff.
Oh, my God.
In any case, in what was almost exciting news, but then turned out to be the same news as usual, HB2 went down this week in
North
Carolina.
North Carolina, the transgender bathroom.
Yeah. So transgender people...
They repealed it, but they made sure that
they made sure that nobody will gain any extra rights out of this repeal.
Mm-mm. Right.
First of all, the weirdest part of
they
all of this.
They repealed it, but they were like, we still hate you, gay.
Right.
We still hate you, homos.
Gay people still don't have rights in this state, and we're going to make sure it stays that way.
Yeah.
But trans people can use the bathroom, at least. They repealed
it. We're not going to check under your skirt.
Right.
But we still hate you, homos.
Right. You can be fired, though. We'll fire you. We just will let you use the bathroom on the way out.
Right, exactly. There's no employment protections in this.
Or any protections. And there's a moratorium on putting local level protections in. So even though the governor was like, this will open the door to local governments doing things, everyone was like, that's not how this reads at all.
Right.
Literally won't.
Was this the new governor being backed into a corner?
I think so.
Probably that this was probably
the last governor
lost
his job over it, so I think
exactly.
it was something he had to tackle right away. But he's working with only Republicans in their legislature, so I mean, what? And you know, they had the thing that brought this bill to sort of the interest and attention of these Republicans was the amount of money the state was losing because basketball was angry about it.
I love, and I'm so
it's so bizarre.
Proud of basketball.
I know. The sport of basketball.
Who knew basketball was going to be like, no.
You know you can trust football to do it. You know, it had to be a sport, a more evolved sport like basketball. But you know, the NBA and the NCAA had been pulling major tournaments from North Carolina. North Carolina has losing billions. A lot of basketball business. And there were other reports of this. I think there were, like, PayPal or somebody also decided not to build.
A lot
of
companies actually stopped expansion plans.
But it was all economic. So there was no real pressure. I mean, like, there was
They didn't care about,
but they
like,
didn't
the,
care
how the
about
transgender people
what
were actually
HRC
feeling.
Was saying about this.
Right.
They were caring about what
money.
The NCAA was saying about this.
Right.
And so this deal was made exclusively to see if they could woo back basketball without pissing off
the Republicans.
But you get
it the way you can, right?
Yeah.
I don't know
what they got. And we still don't know whether the NCAA is going to take the bait here.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, most of the people who were actually affected by this policy were very unhappy with this agreement. And conservatives were still furious about it because they're convinced that using the bathroom with trans people will be the downfall of society. And so there was like no group that came out of this feeling like, aha, we won. We did it.
Yeah.
Mm. And I feel like I wouldn't want to be the governor of North Carolina in this. But I did get to advise a North Carolina voter in this election cycle.
Oh, that's right, I remember that.
And it was a very, except my boss is from North Carolina, and it was a very exciting time because I did research on everyone in North Carolina, and it was an adventure for all.
And did they vote your way? Did they vote the way you suggested?
Oh, I'm sure you probably filled out the ballot.
That's great.
Right? Yeah.
In a legal way. I did.
I was a big ballot filler outer.
People at my office just leave me their ballots a lot of the time to fill out. Like, I'm just filling out the...
In a legal way.
In a legal way. Right. With their signature.
Yes.
They
After they've approved it.
They watch her do it. Right. They approve her. They nod, and then they sign with their own hand.
Exactly.
Let's not get you in trouble.
No.
Right.
So, one day I'm just going to go down, and it's only because I'm providing a great service for everybody who wants to vote and doesn't want to research 17 props.
Right.
Oh, believe me, on election day I was desperately texting people like, what'd you put for number 5?
Yeah. We wrote a cheat sheet, and it was by far the most downloaded thing from our website that has ever existed in the world.
And people don't think about it until the day, and then you panic. Yeah, it's like, oh my God, I forgot that I have to vote on 100 extra things.
You're face to face, and you're like, who are these people? Why are there 19? 19 guys running for city council.
Yeah, the jungle primary system adds another layer. And speaking of the jungle primary system, there's an interesting jungle primary race coming up in Georgia.
Yes.
Because Tom Price's seat is up off cycle.
What is he, obviously. HHS or DHS? Or what is
HHS?
He
he's the Health and Human Services guy. Yeah. And the good news is that in early voting, the Democrats are just like trouncing Republicans. I think 8,100 people have voted
really
so far.
People have really been mobilizing for this. Like, I saw Alyssa Milano was offering to drive people to the polls.
Alyssa Milano is involved. No. Yeah.
Alyssa Milano and like a couple of other activists are like, I am on the ground in Georgia, and if you call this number, I will pick your ass up and take you to the poll.
The Daily Coast raised $1 million for this race.
Amazing.
But it's interesting because it's a jungle primary race. It's not a traditional race. So the Democratic-backed candidate is running against like 4 trillion Democrats and Republicans.
Oh,
and because of the way jungle primaries work, almost anything could be the outcome. So we're seeing 44% Democrats to 23% Republicans voting so far in early voting.
In early voting.
But we also don't know which Democrats and Republicans they're voting for.
Right.
And we also, a third of them, though, have never voted in a primary before.
Wow.
So it's a lot of new people.
And Ossoff is not the only Democrat running.
Right.
So yeah, that's the thing.
There's some complications.
Right.
Californians will understand this complication well.
Yeah, they could be splitting. The Dems could be splitting their vote and not voting in a block.
But I feel like there's so much sort of news and sort of wind behind Ossoff.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think the average Democrat in this county is like, I hear so much about this John Ossoff guy, but what about this Bert Allen fella? Like, no,
he was
he
ran for school comptroller once. He seems like a good guy.
I saw him mowing his lawn the other day. He seems like a swell fella. No,
It's an interesting district because it is a very serious GOP district, but it's not Trump country at all. It's like the sort of, it's an Atlanta suburb. And so it's a lot of just like white Republican, you know, middle of the road, Southern, you know, white people, Republicans.
Who have like no gay people.
Upper middle class.
No gay people. They're like, well,
and black people probably.
Right. Oh, yeah.
They're in Atlanta. So you would hope. But so.
You'd be actively trying not to.
If you don't know black people in Atlanta, you are really fucking it up. You have not left your house in 3 years.
You're crossing a lot of streets, sidewalks to avoid them.
You're not going anywhere, in fact. But so, in any case, it's interesting because Trump did defeat Clinton here, but by 1 point.
Wow. Oh, wow.
And so Price won the district by 23 points. And there were obviously enough Price people that voted Democratic in the presidential race that I'm interested to see what happens.
If this Ossoff character can overperform Hillary Clinton in the amount that some of the other people who have had elections
can
overperform her, then he'll win by 30 points.
Yeah, I mean, that's so true. It's a classic situation.
Go Ossoff character.
Yeah. Yes, random Ossoff guy who just has normal middle-of-the-road Democrat. 30, I know, he's young.
Young.
Mm-hmm. I know. I worry about that a little.
I think I decided I'm going to run for office
yeah.
when I'm like 65.
Oh. And then you have just sort of like the wisdom of your years.
I've done all the stuff that I wanted to do as far as like being a performer, you know, being like, I want to go the Al Franken route.
Yeah,
I like the Al Franken route.
Like become a successful comedian and actor and performer and do all the things that I'm going to do and then be like, now I'm coming for you.
Well, and there are a lot of similarities, I feel like, between being a performer and being a politician.
Absolutely. And I love that Al Franken can just call out bullshit.
Yeah, totally.
He's like, my job was calling out bullshit.
He's not the guy that you want to be stuck with some unfortunate irony in front of. There's a lot of that going on right now.
The right way too, which is that he spent a couple of years laying low and being like, no, I know I was a comedian, but I can't.
And like getting involved in local stuff.
And getting the respect of his peers. And now he's like, now the comic voice is coming back.
Yeah. I know. Well, I've been waiting for that for a while. I wanted him to run for vice president. I thought he would have been a better running mate. They were looking for a white guy.
Than Tim Vanilla Cane.
Than random person Cane.
There was a talk of that.
I remember.
Being one of the people that.
That's who I went in for.
Tim Cream of Wheat Cane.
Dad Jeans Cane.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Unfortunate.
Wow. Oh, God. There was some more racism this week.
Oh,
From the White House. April Ryan is really killing it right now at being the target of racism from the White House and turning that into great tweets.
I know exactly. It's because she's got a great fuck you face.
Yeah.
Yeah, she does.
Right?
She
has, you can tell she's saying fuck you just by her expression. Right, she don't have to say it.
Well, she had the nerve to shake her head at Sean Spicer this week, and he was not having it.
Yeah. This is
as much sexism, I think, probably, as
totally.
Yeah.
And this is the same woman who Trump said, you know, oh, have I met with the Congressional Black Caucus? Do you know them? Are they friends of yours?
Are you friends with them?
So you may remember her from earlier fame
she's
being awesome from, you know, a few months ago. Or I guess it was only weeks ago. I don't know. It's felt like a whirlwind.
It's only been 70 days
total. She has been a respected reporter in the White House over how many administrations? Four?
So she's like a known...
It's not like she's like a chick that she's off the street.
Right, exactly.
No, she's an experienced reporter.
Like some of the buffoons they've been inviting to the press briefings.
Random bloggers from random conservative news sites.
Good.
But in any case, so she asked a question about Russia, as you would as a reporter who's at a press briefing from the White House, which is being accused of treason, essentially. Mm-hmm. And Sean Spicer went on some rant about her having a secret agenda by asking the question, which she did, which was to find out what's going on with Trump in Russia.
Hey, it wasn't my agenda, hashtag truth.
Exactly. Also, yielded the Spicer quote, if the president puts Russian salad dressing on his salad tonight, somehow that's a Russian connection.
Oh, boy.
So Spicer's getting into the comedy game.
I don't trust Russian dressing at all. No. Who eats Russian dressing?
It's disgusting.
Gross.
No. It's horrible.
It's like not quite Thousand Island.
And
like,
by the way, if there's anyone I would trust to have bad enough taste to eat Russian dressing, it's Mr. Taco Bowl himself.
Next
to his well-done steak.
I mean, nobody can trust that.
Charred steak.
Yeah. In any case, he then went on to say, it seems like you're hellbent on trying to make sure that whatever image you want to tell about this White House stays. So Ryan clarifies, or tries to, at which point he says, you're asking me a question and I'm going to answer it, and then says, I'm sorry, please stop shaking your head again.
Right,
because she wasn't allowed to ask a follow-up question. Or
so she literally was just like shaking her head.
Shook her head
at him.
Because she was getting sassed by an asshole.
It was the fuck you face plus the head shaking.
Yeah, exactly.
And he was like, oh, I see you, April Ryan. Uh-huh. But I agree with you. I feel like it's more sexism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a combination of sexism
and
racism.
I think she is the focus of all of this because she is getting hit with both. And they are obviously very uncomfortable around women and black people in this White House.
She's the
and
double whammy. Yeah.
She is like, she's getting sort of all of their racist, sexist sort of like attitude because she's like has the gall to be the experienced reporter that she is in press briefings.
Yeah.
She also just tweeted a single word after that, which was just Lord. I can't say it. You guys, how do you say this?
Lord.
Yeah. I don't have the
Lord.
Right voice.
Lord. Lord.
There's no R in it.
Is it L-A-W-D?
It's L-A-W-D.
Is that what
she
tweeted? Yeah.
Wow.
You guys, I can't.
That's perfect.
I can't say words without the R in them.
Pretend like you're
have
British
tried.
Or something.
I know.
Lord.
Lord.
Yeah. She's very open.
We needed a Southerner here to sell that.
Yeah.
Oh, well. In any case, that got retweeted like 6,000 times.
I love
by,
it.
More than
anything Sean Spicer himself has ever tweeted.
Exactly.
Did you see him do that press conference with lettuce in his teeth this week, by the way?
Yes. What?
Did you see that?
No.
Did you see a picture of that?
Yes.
Like right here.
Oh, my God.
This poor man.
His bottom front
just
teeth.
Evolving.
He had a But like this is
he's getting
like,
tanner and more lettucey with every passing moment.
Have you seen that? Have you seen the
pictures? Have you seen the pictures? It was there was a Jezebel article that was just the
photos
of
him
dream.
Like from the beginning, basically like of the administration. He's very clearly has been asked to be on the Trump self-tanner program.
No.
He also 100%. Has been having struggles with makeup that you can see actively depicted.
Yeah. But like somebody obviously was like, you have to be tanner than this. Yeah,
that
you have to.
So
you can't be this pale.
Funny.
Yeah.
And
not
great.
When we're this tan.
That's so great.
It's just
somebody's
is
just standing like with a spray.
He is like one of his own props. You know how they love to bring props to these. Like he is himself a prop.
He's the stack of blank paper.
Exactly.
Yes, he's like, look at this stack folders. Of
look
papers.
Look at all these papers we're vetting.
Look at the papers.
This proves we're doing the work.
It's whiter than my face.
In any case, there was more racism and sexism on offer
this time
week.
From Bill O'Reilly, which is, shouldn't shock anybody.
Not a surprise.
No.
But he had the gall to take on Maxine Waters, which is a mistake in this climate, you guys. Maxine Waters is a national treasure. That's been established by everyone. No one should be trying to actively receive the anger of millions of Maxine Waters fans at this moment.
I didn't realize. It's been like a couple decades since I realized how much I loved Maxine Waters. I mean, I always have, but she sort of like first came to like
she was
fame
in the Clinton impeachment era.
She was like that was when she
that
first
was when we
really
all found out about
like,
Maxine Waters.
We found out
I have
that she was a real
remind
badass.
Remind me,
she
I
was on the Judiciary Committee at the time, so she during those hearings was just like one of the heroes of that of those Judiciary hearings.
She was like,
hearings.
"This is all bullshit."
Yeah,
basically.
And
yeah.
she, I have a distinct memory of like going to some impeachment protest of some sort. It was the day that Clinton, like, dropped bombs on Iraq or something. Like, there was some...
Sure.
So we decided to wander around Congress instead. And we literally just went into her office to be like, we love you. And then they gave us a calendar, and then we walked out. But I recall that we were not the only people in there essentially trying to do that. And this was... She just seems to, like, come back in fashion.
Yeah.
Like, every few years...
She's, like, she's in her either mid to maybe even late 80s. I don't know. I mean, she's old.
She's an old person.
Wow. So she's, like, the vest.
Yeah.
It's, like, every couple of decades, it's, like,
just
oh,
like
it's
comes
hot
back.
Again.
Yeah.
The vest
totally.
Is hot again.
Yeah. So this isn't her first rodeo as a national treasure. But she's been back.
And I like that she's
recently.
And she's older and wiser now, so she's like, she ain't taking no crap.
No, she's out of fucks.
And she has Twitter
for
the first
out
time in her life.
Exactly. Yeah.
So things are really getting exciting.
But they showed a Bill O'Reilly was on Fox and Friends, and they showed some video of Maxine Waters, like, you know, talking about how terrible Trump was, I think, like from the floor of the House. And he said, I didn't hear a word she said. I was looking at her James Brown wig.
Even the female Fox and Friends host, that blondie there, came to Maxine Waters' defense. Because
she
it
did.
Was just,
in the, immediately
she said,
in the moment?
She said, I have to defend her on that. You can't go after a woman's looks. I think she's very attractive.
Nice.
Which is the most, it's a very Foxy answer
right,
to that.
I love,
but at least
you can't go after her looks,
she's
but she's pretty.
I mean, you know, I'd fuck her.
Right.
What?
So O'Reilly responds, I didn't
you
say...
You can't make fun of her. I didn't think the wig was that bad.
Right, exactly. But O'Reilly responds with, I didn't say she wasn't attractive. I love James Brown. But it's the same hair James Brown, the godfather of soul, has. I love that he chooses to qualify James Brown in that moment as if that makes it less of an insult.
Right, exactly.
James Brown is fuckable in my book.
Right.
Okay. Then they also, if you don't have the quotes here, but I watched the clip. They also then went on like a very... They had a long chat about, like, James Brown and how he had, like, just been buried. Remember? Because there was that whole thing where, like, he hadn't, like, his body was, like, there was, like,
no
an argument
where it
over.
Was or something?
No, like, there was, like, arguments with, like, his ex-wife and somebody about, like, and then, like, he wasn't buried for, like, a really long time. And, like, it was a weird thing. But they, like, went on, like, a whole, like, tirade on Fox and Friends about, like, where James Brown's body was. So it was the whole thing.
It was a long
thing,
James
burning,
Brown
really
in airtime.
Yeah. But Maxine Waters went on her... favorite place to go, which is I'm obsessed with. She goes on Chris Hayes.
Yeah,
now.
She loves going on Chris,
like,
All In.
Like the
All
last,
In with Chris Hayes.
Right, because she is. Because
I believe there
in.
Has been
That's
All In with
is.
Maxine Waters trending on Twitter at times.
Oh yeah,
amazing.
Because when she the last time she went on there, when she literally like went and just basically like read a speech from a sheet of paper, and she like very dramatically like removed her glasses and like when she was talking about like all of Trump's Russia ties or whatever, and Chris Hayes was like trying to like get a word in edgewise, and ultimately she just talked for like 9 minutes straight, and like he finally was just like laughing to himself for like the last 5 minutes of it. So, like, I don't know if she likes to go on there because she knows she can just really, like, steamroll him, or if she knows that the sort of, like, dichotomy of, like, her talking and, like, a split screen of him laughing, like, really gets people That's going. Great. I don't know what it is, but it's perfect. It's, like, the most, like, mismatched, like, ridiculous pairing ever, but it's also could not be better.
He looks like a 12-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Totally.
And yeah. She's like, listen
there's
here.
There's no wonder he can't get a word in edgewise.
Right.
I feel like there's no world in which he has the sort of gravitas in that situation to do that.
But she went on there again and basically did the same thing, where she just, like, talked for 5 minutes and she was like...
Yeah, and she went on a rant about Roger Ailes and O'Reilly having no credibility because they've had to pay out a lot of millions of dollars in harassment suits and things.
Uh-huh. And then she said something like... That she was a strong... Didn't she say something that she was a strong black woman or something like that? I can't remember.
Because that's
like
how the hashtag black women at work started trending because of the confluence of April Ryan and Maxine Waters on All In with Chris Hayes was too much for the internet to take.
Because,
so they needed a hashtag.
Well, because of a lot of black women recognized
deal with bullshit at work.
In that situation, they were like, oh, you know, I heard a great quote. I don't remember who tweeted it, but said, every black woman encounters at least two Bill O'Reillys and like three...
Sean Spicer's
like on a
on a daily
on a weekly basis.
Oh, I'm sure
it's like of course, like if I had to deal with someone like that at work, I'd be like hashtag black woman at work.
You would need a hashtag to get to have somewhere to share your story because you certainly are getting steamrolled at work if you're having to deal with Sean Spicer and fucking Bill O'Reilly, unless you're Maxine Waters, who has the skill
and then you don't get steamrolled,
and Grace to never get steamrolled. She doesn't get steamrolled. That's
just don't
Don't try.
Don't come for Maxine Waters.
It's such an easy...
Don't.
There's a million fake, you know, fake people you can be angry about that are Democrats. Go after Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Nobody likes her.
Exactly.
You can unify America with hatred towards Debbie Wasserman Schultz.
Yeah.
Like, everyone...
And she doesn't have the skill to, like,
deflect
come
it.
For you herself.
Exactly.
Like, but Maxine Waters... Well,
does
like she will go on Chris Hayes and she will remind everyone that Bill O'Reilly had to pay $13 million in sexual harassment suits.
That's right.
Like just don't like leave Maxine Waters out of it.
Yeah,
like guys,
he's unfuckable for sure.
Oh God,
I know.
Seriously,
it's your own funeral.
God,
Maxine Waters thinks.
Yes.
Meanwhile, speaking of media. Donald Trump had a brilliant idea this week.
Yeah, he refloated the idea of changing libel laws.
He used to talk about this all the time during his campaign, and then he stopped because he became the president, and it turned out that that was a really, like, outrageous thing to say as president. But this week he had a new epiphany.
Yeah.
Also, I would contend that there wasn't actual strategy to him stopping talking about it. He just had new things to talk about, and then he was always going to come back to it.
He was distracted. He just got distracted.
He's easily distracted.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is it he'd actually said?
Oh, he tweeted, "The failing New York Times has disgraced the media world. Gotten me wrong for 2 solid years. Change libel laws? And then he shared a link from the New York Post that was just like critical of the Times, which is a classic New York Post move that has nothing to do with Donald Trump.
Right.
Like,
because it's not even like the Post is on board with him either.
No, the Post is just on board with anyone that sells
sensationalism.
Yeah,
totally.
They're on board with writing the most amazing headlines in the business, but that's all they're on board with.
Yeah.
But so... This is the first time, like I said, that he's done this of late. But some notes on this. Libel laws are administered by the state and not the federal government. So even if he wanted to change the libel laws, which he clearly does, he would have a very hard time doing it because there are no federal laws for him to change.
He doesn't
So he'd have
that.
To get a new he'd have to get a new Supreme Court precedent to get this going. Also, he doesn't like actually want to do something about this. He just wants to complain.
Yeah, exactly.
This is just a plan for him to complain about.
He likes to threaten and bully. This is his threaten and bully.
Well, and the reason he backed off, actually, initially, was because he was told that if he did change the libel laws the way he wanted to, he would get sued more. He got some advice.
Because he's
libelous.
During the campaign.
The president is libelous? What?
When he stopped talking about this on the campaign, it was because he had gotten that during, you know, it was during the transition period.
Right.
That
somebody
this
gave him
stopped.
A hot tip.
Someone
that,
gave him a hot tip that he might get more
hot
lawsuits.
Hot tip, you getting sued.
And while he loves suing other people, he doesn't love himself getting sued, as we know.
No.
So that was just a little excitement from Trump's camp. And then final news.
Quick update.
Update on the Matthew Perry, Justin Trudeau.
This?
No.
So Matthew Perry was on Jimmy Kimmel, I think, like a couple weeks ago. And
Matthew Perry from Friends?
From Friends.
Chandler Bing himself.
Chandler Bing.
And had gone to elementary school with Justin Trudeau.
No.
And apparently had beat him up.
All Canadians went to elementary school together.
Yes. Like, he and some friends, well, like, bullied Justin Trudeau.
Matthew Perry's father was, like, a successful actor, I think. And so he was, like...
In Canada.
In rich person. And Justin Trudeau's family's political.
Yeah,
I think his father was
the prime minister. They probably went to some, like, fancy...
So they went to some fancy school together, because there's not that many people in Canada, you guys. There couldn't have been that many places they could have
I don't think I even knew Matthew Perry was Canadian.
Mm-hmm. He hides it well.
He does. He is not William Shatnering that.
No.
No.
But so in any case, there was a quick update to that story, which was Justin Trudeau had a little April Fool's joke on his Twitter yesterday on Saturday, April Fool's Day, where he tweeted, "I've been giving it some thought, and you know what? Who hasn't wanted to punch Chandler? How about a rematch, Matthew Perry?"
Again, even more reason why Justin Trudeau is dreaming.
Oh, have you seen all those like pictures of him from younger?
Yes, shirtless, all of his shirtless model era photos.
I've done more than seen the pictures. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, this is such an odd time for him to be the prime minister, because we have like such a disgusting president now to like have this sort of like model-esque neighbor up north this country that we have been made fun of for our entire lives.
Right.
It's like a confusing time to be an American.
It is. But at the same time, that whole situation in Canada right now is what we strive to achieve, because their last prime minister was Donald Trump.
Yes. That's true.
The one that the one that Justin Trudeau deposed was version of Orange Joffrey. So we we have it. We have the path to getting our own
Canada
justice.
Leading the way.
Elect a pretty person.
Right.
Yeah. He's just he's awesome and like
elected dreamy person.
A dreamy person who's like loves people.
Yes.
Loves all
He also loves
people.
Pipelines, but it's separate. He's still
everyone has their issues.
Bad with the good, I guess. The good
and this
the
is
bad.
Where I remind you, if you live in our district, to call Adam Schiff and tell him to get on board with Medicare for All.
Yes,
I know he won't, but he's trying to be a good person. It's like when I said about Arnold Schwarzenegger, don't make him run for Senate because he's trying to do the right thing. He's working on impartial redistricting. That's an area in which, even as a Republican, he can be good for humanity.
Yes,
right. Don't derail his intentions by making him be an asshole again.
Yeah,
he wasn't that great a governor, but he was his impartial redistricting changes have changed the game in California. Let him be good. Yeah. And I say the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
Amen to that.
Let people be good.
Yeah.
People do the right thing.
Even Matthew Perry.
Even Matthew Perry.
Right.
And with that, we are done. Thank you so much for coming on. This was so much fun.
Thank you. This was awesome.
Remind everybody again.
Yes.
About your upcoming show. Where to get tickets.
Oh, I have this great show. It's called Party on the Left. And it's, we talk about the stuff that happened, very similar to this, like stuff that happened this week, but it's live. So if you live in the LA area, come April 13th at the Belly Room at the Comedy Store. The Comedy Store on Sunset Boulevard, April 13th. It's called Party on the Left, hosted by myself and Faraz Ozel, who's also a great, very smart comic. So.
And can they find you online anywhere?
You can find me online. I'm on all the socials at Funny Helen Hong.
Helen Hong.
Not lame Helen Hong or serious Helen Hong.
Or just at Helen Hong.
I'm funny. Well, that's the problem story, is I'm don't sure. have I don't have the handle because some other bitch who I have yet to kill.
These fucking Helen Hongs
has parked herself
everywhere.
On at Helen Hong. So you find me at funny Helen Hong.
Nice.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And we will see you guys next week with more news about treason, because that's what we talk about these days.
Hashtag Russia.
Hashtag, what is Russia it? Trump Russia. Russia Trump. I can never get, I don't know what
it's
order
both.
But okay,
both.
Perfect. I'm not doing it wrong. Bye.
Bye.